Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Monday, July 29th, 2019. Coming up this hour,
the U.S. and China prepare to restart trade talks.
Stocks in Hong Kong slide after an eighth week of protests.
The pound weakens as Boris Johnson prepares for a no-deal Brexit.
And Wall Street awaits the Fed's first rate cut in a decade.
A mass shooting at a food festival in California.
We just heard pop, 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 pop.
And President Trump taps a loyalist to be Director of National Intelligence. I'm John Tucker. Those stories straight ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Yankees salvaged the game in Boston. The Mets held on, finished a sweep of the Pirates. They also acquired pitcher Marcus Stroman from Toronto.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. futures are little changed after a down day for stocks in Asia. We're coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are down a point. Dow futures down 8. NASDAQ futures down 4.5. The DAX in Germany is down about 0.2%. So is the CAC in Paris. FTSE 100 up 1.1%. Nikkei 225 in Japan was down 0.2%. The Hang Seng in Hong Kong fell 1%. 10-year Treasury up 3/32, yield 2.05%. Yield on the 2-year 1.84%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.1% or 7 cents at $56.27 a barrel. COMEX gold little change down 80 cents to $14.31.40 an ounce. The euro, 1.1124 against the dollar. The yen at 108.63. Nathan.
Karen, trade negotiations, the Fed, and protests in Hong Kong all in focus this morning. We begin with trade, where we have Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin and Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer heading to Shanghai for the first round of talks in nearly 3 months. Bloomberg's Tom McKenzie has the very latest from Beijing.
You've had both sides coming out and downplaying expectations. And in some respects, China's position has become less flexible since May. They've outlined three key demands. One of them, of course, is the removal of all tariffs immediately. They also say they want a balanced deal and a deal that has less onerous demands in terms of purchases of U.S. agricultural products. The U.S. are saying, look, we want to go back to the deal that we thought we had before China did a U-turn, as the U.S. would portray it, and went back on some of their commitments. Progress in these talks that are going to run from Tuesday to Wednesday would be any agreement to continue those talks in Washington.
Meanwhile, President Trump is concerned China may try to wait till after the 2020 election to sign a trade agreement. He says Beijing would prefer to reach a deal with a Democrat.
If I had a 2% chance of losing the election, I think China would probably say, let's wait. Let's wait. Maybe Trump will lose and we can deal with another dope or another stiff.
And protests in Hong Kong are also providing a tense backdrop for talks, with Beijing calling Washington, quote, the black hand behind anti-government demonstrations.
And those protests were back in full force this weekend. Police deployed tear gas and rubber bullets to clear thousands of demonstrators from downtown Hong Kong. It was the eighth straight week of protests. Bloomberg's David Tweed reports from the streets of Hong Kong.
The tear gas actually wafted all the way up the streets at the conclusion of an extremely chaotic 3 days of protest here in Hong Kong. It started on Friday at the airport. Thousands of protesters to deliver their message to tourists coming into Hong Kong. That was again repeated with violent protests out in Yuen Long. Yuen Long was the scene last week where mobs of anti-protest men, some say linked to organized crime, beat up protesters in the trains. On Saturday, the protesters were back out there, this time targeting the police. Here right now, it's pretty much been cleaned up. One thing that seems to be clear, the protest movement is becoming much more fragmented, much, much more difficult for the police to handle.
Today, China is weighing in on the demonstrations, with the Hong Kong and Macau Affairs Office saying it continues to support Carrie Lam as chief executive and that those responsible for the protests must be punished.
Now, on the financial front, it was a mostly down day for stocks in Asia as sentiment in Hong Kong took a hit from the weekend violence. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally joins us from Singapore with details. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. The Hang Seng Index fell to six-week lows in Hong Kong, while the property index had its sharpest slump since January. Japanese stocks were dented by a stronger yen, with the Nikkei 225 down 0.2%. The Kospi in Seoul fell to its lowest level since May the 29th, down almost 2%, as analysts forecast weak earnings growth and foreigners sold out of the market. But Australian stocks reached all-time highs on the broader All Ordinaries Index, while the ASX 200 of the top 200 stocks down under closed just shy of a record. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Juliet, thank you. The pound is weakening this morning. It is currently at 1.2334 against the dollar as UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson ramps up preparations for a no-deal Brexit. Bloomberg's Sebastian Salek joins us live from London with the very latest. Good morning, Sebastian.
Good morning, Karen and Nathan. The Prime Minister's high-level Brexit cabinet holds its first meeting today. The group of six senior ministers will gather every day to ensure the UK leaves the EU on October the 31st. Michael Gove will lead the sessions as the government steps up preparations for a no-deal Brexit. He says that's the most likely outcome unless Brussels agrees to reopen negotiations. Live in London, I'm Sebastian Salek, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Sebastian, thank you. Back here in the U.S., the Federal Reserve is set to cut interest rates for the first time in a decade. Economists forecast a decrease of 25 basis points this week, while some are betting on a cut as deep as 50. Stephen Gallo is head of FX strategy at BMO Capital Markets.
I think there's a risk of 50, but I think sort of the backdrop of the decision is the more important thing here. I mean, the U.S. data have not been disastrous in any way, shape, or form. What it really is going to probably look like is the Fed is delivering a modest insurance cut and using relatively low inflation as a benchmark or a guidepost, if you like.
Also this week, we get the monthly U.S. payrolls report. Economists predict the economy added 166,000 jobs in July.
And on the corporate front, London Stock Exchange Group is in discussions to acquire Refinitiv. Investors are backing its $27 billion bid for the financial data and trading platform that has shares of LSE up 14% in London.
And shares of Mylan are up 23% in early trading. That's after sources told Bloomberg Pfizer is in talks to merge its off-patent drugs business with Mylan to form a generic drug giant. Futures little changed at the moment. Straight ahead, the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg. And it's 6:07 on Wall Street. We bring in John Tucker to let us know what else is happening in the world. John, good morning.
And Nathan, good morning. At least four people killed, including a suspect, and at least 15 wounded after a shooting at the annual Garlic Festival in Gilroy, California. This is near San Francisco last night. Gilroy Police Chief Scott Smithy says there may be a second suspect who served in a support role.
We believe, based on witness statements, that there was a second individual involved in some way. We just don't know in what way.
Police say a suspect cut through a fence to gain access. The wounded were taken to multiple hospitals. Their conditions range from fair to critical. The president continued his attacks on Baltimore and Congressman Elijah Cummings over the weekend, calling the black congressman a racist. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has more.
The president tweeting and his chief of staff, Mick Mulvaney, on Fox.
The richest state of the nation has abject poverty like that. A state, by the way, dominated for generations by Democrats. I think it's fair to have that conversation.
But Justice Committee Chair Gerald Nadler on ABC says this is just vintage Trump strategy, and then takes it one step further.
Well, the president is, as he usually is or often is, disgusting and racist.
In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
And the House Judiciary Chairman, Congressman Nadler, says his committee is still exploring impeachment for President Trump.
We have impeachment resolutions before the committee. We are conducting investigations to determine whether we should report those impeachment resolutions to the House or whether we should draft our own and report them to the House. We are considering those resolutions.
He was on ABC's This Week, as heard on Bloomberg Radio, saying the president has done many impeachable offenses. And President Trump says he plans to nominate a loyalist, Representative John Ratcliffe, as Director of National Intelligence, replacing Dan Coats, who he says will depart the office August 15th. Coats repeatedly disagreed with President Trump on key national security claims since taking the post in March of 2017. The 53-year-old Ratcliffe played a prominent role in last week's House hearing featuring Robert Mueller, where the third-term lawmaker tore into the former special counsel as having violated every principle and the most sacred tradition of prosecutors. Global News 24 hours a day, on air, and at TikTok, on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker, and this is Bloomberg Nathan.
All right, John, thank you. It is 6:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update with John Stashower.
Nathan, it was the worst week by Yankee starting pitchers in team history. But last night in Boston, Yanks gave the ball to Domingo Germán. He's been their best starter, certainly from a one-loss standpoint. Germán improved to 13-2, pitched into the sixth inning, struck out nine. Yanks held on, salvaged the game over the Red Sox, 9-6. Two-run homers from Austin Romine and D.D. Gregorius made for a relieved skipper, Aaron Boone.
It definitely felt good to get this one. Obviously, it's been a difficult weekend for us, and it was difficult even finishing it off. They kept grinding, making it tough on us. We made enough plays in the end, so I think, you know, obviously that's a happy room to finish off what, in a lot of ways, was a difficult week for us, obviously, but to go to two really tough places and in a difficult week, at least go back with three wins in the pocket, you know, we'll take it.
Off tonight, home tomorrow for Arizona. The Yankee GM, Brian Cashman, will be working the phones until Wednesday's trade deadline. Yankees could certainly use a pitcher. It won't be Marcus Stroman, the Long Island native, who was an all-star, had an under 3 ERA in Toronto. He's coming to New York, but he's coming to the Mets, who figured to be sellers, not buyers. Will Stroman now take the place in the Met rotation of Noah Syndergaard or Zach Wheeler? Both have been rumored to be on the trade block. Mets had a good weekend. They continue to play well at home. They swept the Pirates. They're up 6-0. They held on to win 8-7. The Pirates have now lost 8 in a row. Brooks Koepka said he only practices for major golf tournaments. He's been dominant in them. Hasn't won a lot outside of majors, but in Memphis, Koepka captured the World Golf Championship St. Jude Classic. He played the final group with Rory McIlroy. Koepka shot 65. McIlroy, a day after a 62, shot 71. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan.
All right, John, thank you. Futures are mixed ahead of the open. Little changed, really, with S&P futures up just half a point at the moment. Dow futures are higher by 10 points. NASDAQ futures down, but almost by 1 point. The 10-year Treasury is up 430 seconds. The yield, 2.05%. Two-year Treasury yield, 1.84%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And it's coming up to 6:12 on Wall Street. Straight ahead, trade talks in Shanghai, a Fed decision this week. We'll get you set for a busy week with our roundtable of Bloomberg editors around the world. You're listening to Bloomberg Radio.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. S&P futures are little changed this morning. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures, as I said, little change. Dow futures down are up 8. NASDAQ futures down about 1, so little changed as well. The DAX in Germany is little changed. 10-year Treasury up 330 seconds, yield 2.05%. The yield on the 2-year, 1.84%. NYMEX crude oil is little changed, up 3 cents to $56.22 a barrel. And COMEX gold also little changed at $14.32.20 an ounce. The euro, 1.1128 against the dollar. The British pound, 1.2338. And the yen is at 108.64. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's John Tucker with more on what's going on around the world. John.
And good morning, Karen. A chaotic weekend of unrest in Hong Kong, and now China says violent protests won't be tolerated. 4 are dead, including the gunman, 15 wounded after a shooting at a festival in Gilroy, California on Sunday. And at Bloomberg Sports, Yankees void the sweep. They beat the Red Sox. The Mets win. They acquire Toronto pitcher Marcus Stroman. Elsewhere, the Nationals, Giants, and A's all win. The Orioles lose. Global news 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker. This is Bloomberg Nathan.
Thank you, John. Coming up to 6:19 on Wall Street and live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Let's get you set up for the trading day and week ahead. Helping us do that from New York, Madeline Lim, executive editor for Breaking News for Bloomberg News. In Beijing, we're joined by managing editor Emma O'Brien. And in London, we're pleased to have managing editor for Western Europe, Chad Thomas. Want to start with you, Emma, with trade talks returning to China, though neither side seems to be setting expectations all that high.
That's right. It's kind of hard to get a clear read of where we're at in the U.S.-China trade war right now. We know that Trump dashed the truce about 3 months ago, accusing Beijing of backing down on some of the commitments it's made. But since then, things have been pretty hazy. And as you said, talks set to restart in Shanghai tomorrow, but unclear what exactly will be discussed. There haven't really been any real olive branches from either side since then. China says it will buy, you know, 1 million tons of American soybeans, but at the same time it's hitting out at U.S. companies it's displeased at, like FedEx and the defense contractor Oshkosh. Meanwhile, Trump, he hasn't backed down on his tech sanctions and Huawei. So it's very unlikely there'll be any kind of deal or compromise announced this week, at least.
Meantime, Madeline, expectations are just about as high as they can be that the Federal Reserve is going to resume rate cutting for the first time in about a decade.
That's right. We markets and economists expect a quarter point cut. Chances of a bigger cut of half a percentage point are extremely low right now, around 10%. And some even question whether the U.S. economy needs a rate cut right now. On the face of it, the data would seem to say no. You have GDP growth, while slowing, wasn't too shabby at 2.1% in the last quarter. Unemployment remains low. The consumer is still going strong. On the flip side, though, business investment has been weak, and inflation is, of course, nowhere near the Fed's 2% target. Companies in the U.S. have scaled back their earnings guidance for the second half and the global outlook, given what Emma just said around trade tensions, and manufacturing isn't particularly strong either. So that all supports what you could call an insurance cut. The big question will be whether Chairman Powell in his press conference on Wednesday indicates more rate cuts to come or signals more of a one-and-done move, and I think that would be quite controversial in terms of the impact on the market.
And Chad, the Bank of England's decision on Thursday is going to be fascinating now with new UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson in.
Yeah, you know, we've had a real change in the rhetoric here out of London. Officials have scaled back all that rate hike rhetoric. There's a lot of concern about doom and gloom in the economy, and as such, our economists are predicting that there'll be a unanimous vote to maintain the benchmark rate at 0.75%. Of course, you know, one of the real concerns here is what's going to happen with Brexit, with the new prime minister coming into office. That's a discussion that's been going on over the weekend. And of course, officials in the UK, they're also watching closely what's happening in Europe. We had the ECB meeting last week. There, a real indication there that there would be potentially more stimulus from their side. We'll be watching some figures coming out of the Eurozone this week as well. We'll have 2Q GDP and also inflation, and we expect both of those to be below trend, according to what economists are telling us. And if we expect any sort of help on this front from Germany, which is the real economic engine of the region, we'll be left waiting. We had an interview last week with Olaf Scholz, the German finance minister, and he said that the German government has no plans at this point to pump any money into the economy.
And preceding all this, Emma, the Bank of Japan decides tomorrow.
Yeah, we're not expecting any movement from the BOJ this week. They'd be unlikely to do anything without sort of first confirming that the Fed follows through with that expected cut. But economists are expecting them to potentially indicate that they will stay at rock bottom rates for longer, the Bank of Japan.
Madeline, another very busy week for corporate earnings.
That's right. 166 companies in the S&P 500 are set to report this week, according to Bloomberg Intelligence, and that would make it the busiest week of the entire reporting season. Some of the names coming up are Exxon, Apple, consumer giants like P&G, you've got pharma companies, and GM. So far, we've seen companies reporting fairly strong second quarter earnings, but being pretty cautious on the outlook. So we'll see if that continues. That, of course, hasn't bothered the stock market too much, though, with both the S&P and the Nasdaq last week at records. Tech will remain a focus, obviously, with Apple being the last of the FANGs to report on Tuesday. And even though earnings will be down some on the year ago, analysts are fairly sanguine. They see some positive signs ahead.
Chad, watching the pound sink to multi-year lows as preparations for no-deal Brexit really get underway here.
Yeah, there's a real concern here that no-deal Brexit is potentially going to happen. You had real tough rhetoric by members of the new Prime Minister's cabinet over the weekend here in London, saying that they're preparing for that possibility. We had the EU saying on Friday that they see no reason to reopen the negotiations. We'll be watching very closely what the new Prime Minister has to say today when he travels to Scotland. He's going there to talk to Tory MPs, members of his own party there, who are very skeptical and don't don't share his view that he should push forward with Brexit at all costs. So it'll be interesting to see what he has to say to them.
Chad Thomas, managing editor for Western Europe, joining us from London, along with Bloomberg News managing editor Emma O'Brien in Beijing, and Bloomberg's breaking news executive editor Madeline Lim with us from New York. Thanks to all three of you helping us to get set for what is going to be a very busy week for the markets. And taking a look at the market picture at the moment, almost feels like wait and see, with S&P futures down just a half point right now, Dow futures up 3 points. NASDAQ futures down by just about 2 points. Stay with us for more. You are listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And for breaking news, wherever you are, Bloomberg and Twitter have teamed up on TikTok, the first global news network designed for social media, with live video coverage and hourly updated top news reports verified by Bloomberg at TICTOC on Twitter.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures are little changed this morning ahead of a busy week for corporate earnings, the economy, and trade talks. Almost 3 months after talks broke down, Chinese and U.S. negotiators meet in Shanghai this week amid tempered expectations for a breakthrough. We get the very latest from Bloomberg's Tom McKenzie in Beijing.
We are just still miles apart on the core issues. And in some respects, China's position has become less flexible. They've outlined and have been very consistent on this message of three key demands for any trade deal. The US are saying, look, we want to go back to the deal that we thought we had. Progress in these talks that are going to run from Tuesday to Wednesday would be any agreement to continue those talks in Washington.
U.S. Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer and Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin are leading the delegation from Washington.
Now, this is a big week for news on the U.S. economy, from the Federal Reserve's policy meeting to the monthly employment report. Bloomberg's Vinnie Del Giudice has more.
Economists surveyed by Bloomberg are forecasting a quarter-point Fed rate cut. We'll get the news Wednesday. Friday's employment report could provide grist for the mill. Economists are forecasting payroll growth moderated in June, though the unemployment rate remains near a half-century low. Other major data this week, the ISM Factory Index, consumer spending and confidence, and the trade deficit in goods and services. Vinnie Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Vinnie, thank you. And more than a third of the companies in the S&P 500 report earnings this week. Heading that list, Apple, Merck, Pfizer, ExxonMobil, and Chevron.
In Europe, shares of Heineken are down more than 5%. The world's second largest brewer reported its weakest first half earnings growth in at least 6 years.
Boris Johnson's high-level Brexit cabinet holds its first meeting today, and the pound is weakening on signs the UK Prime Minister is ramping up preparations for a no-deal Brexit.
Shares of the London Stock Exchange Group are up more than 14%. Investors are backing LSE's $27 billion bid to acquire Refinitiv, the financial data and trading platform provider.
And shares of Mylan are up 24% in early trading. Pfizer in talks to merge its off-patent drugs business with Mylan to form a generic drug giant. Mylan is also out with earnings right now. It reported a second quarter profit that beat analyst estimates, and those earnings are just crossing the Bloomberg. S&P futures are down about a point right now. Dow futures down 2. NASDAQ futures down 4. The DAX in Germany is little changed as well. 10-year Treasury up 4/32, yield 2.05%, and the yield on the 2-year 1.84%. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. It's 6:33 on Wall Street, and the news update is brought to you by Marks Paneth, LLP. Marks Paneth Tax Advisors have helped family businesses reach their financial goals for over 100 years. At Marks Paneth, success is personal. Learn more at markspaneth.com/tax. Now here's John Tucker. John, good morning.
And good morning, Nathan. In Hong Kong, it was the eighth straight weekend of protests as demonstrators marched through the city's central business district. Bloomberg's Karen Lee reports from Hong Kong.
Police shot tear gas and rubber bullets throughout downtown Hong Kong to clear thousands of protesters, at one point leaving clouds of tear gas hovering in the air over part of the city. Public anger toward police has grown after recent violence that has marred the protest movement that's leaderless and unpredictable. In Hong Kong, Karen Lee, Bloomberg Daybreak.
At least four people killed, including a suspect, and at least 15 wounded after a shooting at the annual Garlic Festival in Gilroy, California, near San Francisco Sunday evening. Jack Van Breen says his band was on stage there when the gunfire erupted.
From my perspective, look, he was just firing into the biggest bunch of people he could find.
Among the dead is a six-year-old. Representative Gerald Nadler says President Trump deserves to be impeached, but the head of the House Judiciary Committee says the panel is still investigating to determine whether to report resolutions to the full House. Speaker Nancy Pelosi has repeatedly said she wants to have the strongest possible case before pursuing impeachment proceedings. And President Trump announced via tweet on Sunday that the Director of National Intelligence, Dan Coats, is leaving his office August 15th, and he intends to nominate Congressman John Ratcliffe, Republican of Texas, to replace him. Coats clashed with the president on some issues, including Russian election interference. Coats made it clear that Russia did it and that Russia is going to continue trying to interfere in the U.S. elections. Mr. Trump has been critical of that conclusion. And President Trump is doubling down in his feud with Maryland Congressman Elijah Cummings. Now, Mr. Trump is trying to deflect accusations of racism by labeling the prominent black lawmaker as a racist himself and accusing Democrats of trying to play the race card. Earlier weekend tweets called the congressman's Baltimore area majority black district a rodent-infested mess where no human being would want to live. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, John, thank you. It's 6:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
Nathan, talk about a much-needed win. The Yankees had dropped three straight in Boston by a combined 38-13. They had allowed 73 runs in their last seven games. To the rescue came Domingo Herman. Pitched to the sixth inning, gave up just four hits, struck out nine. Yankees finally beat the Red Sox 9-6. Herman is now 13-2. Two-run homers in the game for Austin Romine and D.D. Gregorius. Yanks are off tonight, so the Mets, they're playing better. 10 wins their last 14 games. They finished a sweep for the Pirates, 8-7, blowing most of a 6-0 lead, but Edwin Diaz able to save it for Jason Vargas. Michael Conforto hit his 20th home run. Mets are 28-20 at home. Their manager is Mickey Callaway.
I feel like we're syncing things up, right? Our bullpen's performing. We're scoring some runs consistently. Our starters have been outstanding. And that's what it takes, you know, that's the kind of the recipe for wins, and we've been doing that right now. We got to continue to do it, you know, no matter what decisions are made. We just continue to plug along and play the best baseball we possibly can.
Well, he mentioned decisions. The Mets apparently believe they are still in it for the playoffs. They traded two top minor league pitching prospects to Toronto for Marcus Stroman. He was believed to have been targeted by the Yankees, who certainly could use pitching help. Trade deadline is Wednesday. Brooks Koepka, top five in all four majors this year, and yesterday he won the St. Jude Golf in Memphis by three shots. At track and field in Iowa, a Queens native, Dalila Muhammad, broke the world record in the 400-meter hurdles. For the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stanchauer. Nathan?
All right, John, thank you. 6:37 on Wall Street, and later today we get earnings from Beyond Meat, which has seen its shares surge more than 800% since the IPO. Here with a preview is Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
The plant-based faux meat producer had the best-performing initial public offering so far this year, and its first quarterly results as a public company topped Wall Street forecasts. Some analysts say demand for meat alternatives could make Beyond Meat profitable rather soon. Last week, Dunkin' Brands announced it will add the company's breakfast sausage patties to the menu. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Jeff, thank you. It's just before 6:38 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
You don't need to like Facebook's privacy practices to wonder whether the FTC got it right by imposing a record-smashing $5 billion penalty on the company. The payment resulted from a year-long probe into whether Facebook had misled users about how it handles information. The FTC said the deal would, quote, change Facebook's entire privacy culture. Really? In one way, the settlement was indeed strict. It levied the largest such penalty in the FTC's history. And yet the deal creates no significant new limitations on how Facebook collects, stores, or shares data. If lawmakers think Facebook's data practices are abusive, they should rein them in. What they shouldn't do is express ambiguous dissatisfaction and then expect unelected regulators to sort everything out. Writing rules for the digital economy is a job for Congress. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Editorial Board. For more Bloomberg Opinion, visit Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And you can hear Bloomberg Opinion editorials every weekday at this time. It is 6:39 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Green Report. Here's Bob Moon.
They call it traveling smog, and the state of New York says something needs to be done about it. Now a federal court has ordered the Environmental Protection Agency to make a decision on New York's attempt at forcing 9 upwind states to keep their air pollution out of the Empire State. Its May 2018 petition with the EPA aims to trigger the Good Neighbor provision of the Clean Air Act, which would require additional air pollution controls on facilities in those states. The court says a decision from the Trump administration's EPA is months overdue. A notice of proposed action last May 7th indicated the EPA is likely to deny the petition. The states in question are home to 350 nitrogen oxide-producing factories cited by New York. The states are Illinois, Indiana, Kentucky, Maryland, Michigan, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Virginia, and West Virginia. Nitrogen oxide and sunlight form ground-level ozone, which is linked to breathing trouble. That's the Bloomberg Green Business Report. I'm Bob Moon.
All right, Bob, thank you. We continue to watch shares of Mylan in the pre-market, up 26% now in early trading. The company just announced second quarter sales and revenue that beat analyst estimates. It also lists a proposed Pfizer unit deal to acquire its generic drugs business in its earnings disclaimer. Again, shares of Mylan up 27% now in the pre-market. S&P futures are down 1.5. Dow futures down 2 points. NASDAQ futures down 5. The 10-year Treasury yield 2.05%. And you are listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Coming up to 6:41 on Wall Street, the Democratic presidential candidates square off in their second debate starting tomorrow night. You can hear it live coverage on Bloomberg Radio beginning at 8 p.m. tomorrow and Wednesday evening.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and this update's brought to you by Interactive Brokers. Clients can earn 1.9% on idle cash in their brokerage account. Restrictions apply. Visit IBKR.com/YIB to learn more. And futures, little change to lower this morning. We go to the first word, breaking news desk, for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. U.S. futures are quiet this morning, with Dow futures down 2 points, S&P's dropped 2, and NASDAQ futures dropped by 6. And this just hitting the wires right now, Mylan to combine with Pfizer's Upjohn unit in an all-stock deal. Hong Kong fell 1% overnight amid the ongoing protests, while European markets are trading mostly lower this morning. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 10:30, the Dallas Fed. And regarding earnings, Mylan beat estimates, and Pfizer EPS also beat estimates. In deal news, Exact Sciences is said to be in talks to buy Genomic Health. And wrapping things up, Dish was downgraded to underweight at Barclays, Starbucks downgraded to neutral at J.P. Morgan, and Mohawk cut to underperform over at Wells Fargo. Live from the First Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. And here live breaking news over your Bloomberg Times Squawk on your terminal, SQUAWK. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's John Tucker with more on what's going on around the world. John.
And a chaotic weekend of unrest in Hong Kong, Karen. Now China says violent protests won't be tolerated. President Trump tweeted over the weekend that Director of National Intelligence Dan Coats is stepping down. And in sports, Yankees avoid the sweep. They beat the Red Sox. The Mets win. They acquire Toronto pitcher Marcus Stroman. And elsewhere, the Nationals, Giants, and A's win. The Orioles lose. Global news 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, John, thank you. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios, where it's coming up to 6:49 on Wall Street. Time to check in on what's happening in D.C., where President Trump continues to attack House Oversight Chairman Elijah Cummings on Twitter, calling him racist after making comments about his district that it's, quote, rat and rodent infested and that no human being would want to live there. House Judiciary Chairman Gerald Nadler tells ABC's This Week.
The president is, as he usually is or often is, disgusting and racist. He makes these charges with no base at all, and they are designed to distract attention from the very serious allegations about his conduct.
Acting White House Chief of Staff Mick Mulvaney tells CBS's Face the Nation the objective of the tweets:
to push back against what the president sees as inaccuracies, lies, about what Mr. Cummings said this week in the Oversight Committee about the border.
Congressman Cummings has sat there and attacked our Border Patrol agents, right? This reminds me of what happened to soldiers coming back from Vietnam.
But that justifies a racial resentment tweet in response? Is that presidential leadership?
Well, I didn't do the tweets.
Republican Senator Rick Scott of Florida in an exchange with Chuck Todd on NBC's Meet the Press. House Intelligence Chairman Adam Schiff was on the same program talking next steps after former special counsel Robert Mueller's testimony.
He is desperately concerned, as I am as well, that the acceptance of foreign help, the willingness to receive it, may become a new normal under this president.
As for whether Democrats plan to continue pursuing impeachment, Chairman Jerry Nadler again on ABC's This Week.
We have impeachment resolutions before the committee. We are conducting investigations to determine whether we should report those impeachment resolutions to the House or whether we should draft our own and report them to the House.
The White House is also defending a budget deal that raises spending and lifts the debt ceiling for 2 years. Chief of Staff Mulvaney tells Fox News Sunday it's more spending than they want, but
we got more money for defense, which we think that we need. We got more money for the VA, which we think that we needed. And this hasn't gotten nearly the attention, we got protection for the Republican policies that were in the previous year's bills.
The Senate votes on the bill this week. Democrat Mark Warner tells Face the Nation,
I am concerned with a country with $22 trillion in debt that we've added another $2 trillion with this deal. And at some point, leaving our kids with that kind of balance sheet doesn't make sense. So I'm still evaluating it.
And that is some of the conversation from the political shows heard every Sunday on Bloomberg Radio. NBC's Meet the Press at 11 a.m. Wall Street time. Fox News Sunday at noon. ABC's This Week at 1 p.m. and Face the Nation from CBS at 2. For more on all this, we're joined by Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter. Let's begin with this tweet stream against Congressman Cummings, Kate, because the Twitter attacks continue as we speak this morning from the president, now lumping in the Reverend Al Sharpton as he's planning to visit Baltimore. This is going on for a third day now.
It is, and I think it's not coincidental that we have the second group of Democratic debates coming up tomorrow and Wednesday. Also, those are going to be held in Detroit, which is an obviously very heavily African-American community as well. And so really the president, I think, is once again sort of driving the discussion ahead of and putting it on his own terms ahead of an issue that, is going to be relevant for Democrats vis-a-vis the debate.
Yeah, it certainly will be. I mean, given that, former Vice President Joe Biden received his own sort of racially based attack on the stage in the first debate, could we see that play out in a new context this time around?
I think we absolutely could. He's going to be back on stage this time around on the second night again with Kamala Harris, who's the candidate that the rival that really took him to task during the first debate in terms of his background on racial issues and his work in the past with segregationist senators. I think that we're likely to see this issue come up again. And I think, again, though, what we're seeing is Trump making a very sort of thinly veiled appeal to his base ahead of this whatever conversation does unfold on the Democratic side, and sort of again stealing the thunder on an issue away from the Democrats or on a week that really should be focused on the Democrats. Now here we are not really talking about the Democratic debate so much as we're talking about Trump and, you know, his tweet storms yet again.
Now what does the president, or what could the president perhaps be drawing the conversation from by focusing so much on congresspeople of color? First the Squad, now Congressman Cummings.
Well, I think that, it's not coincidental that we heard Robert Mueller testify last week, that we heard just now in what you replayed from the weekend shows, the strongest. I think Gerald Nadler, the Judiciary Chairman, is talking in the strongest terms we've heard yet about the possibility of an impeachment inquiry being launched formally in the House. He's, said that they haven't decided officially whether or not to do that, but they're actually examining the question of whether to do that. Again, all of these issues are now being overshadowed overshadowed. We're seeing U.S.-China trade war talks, or trade talks resuming this week in the context of, you know, we're seeing that hitting the U.S. and Chinese economies pretty hard. We're not talking about those things as much as we're talking about, again, yet another feud that Trump has instigated with a member of Congress.
In the time we have left, we should talk about the changing of the guard at the top of the nation's intelligence apparatus. Dan Coats, after, I guess you could say, months, if not years of speculation, is finally calling it a career.
Exactly. And this is yet another issue that really Trump's Twitter feud with Elijah Cummings is drawing attention away from, because this is very significant. Dan Coats is someone that has shown a willingness to break with the president when it comes to all sorts of substantive matters dealing with U.S. intelligence. He's shown himself to be someone that is not blindly loyal when it comes to politics, but really willing to kind of state his own mind when it differs from the president. And at times that's put him at odds with the president. And now we're seeing the president replacing him with someone, Congressman Ratcliffe, who is more of a Trump loyalist. And I think that could have significant implications going forward for how the U.S. intelligence community's information is relayed to the president and dealt with by the White House.
Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter, thanks for helping us get set up for yet another interesting week in Washington. And by the way, she mentioned the Democratic debates. They do begin tomorrow night. You can hear them right here on Bloomberg Radio beginning at 8 p.m. Wall Street time tomorrow and Wednesday night. It's coming up to 6:56 on Wall Street.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
I'm Justin Fox, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. Was last month's brutal heat wave in France and elsewhere in Europe caused by climate change? A quick analysis by 14 researchers didn't quite say that, but did conclude that such high temperatures have become at least five times as likely in France because of human-induced warming. Heat waves are among the extreme weather events that scientists have become most confident about attributing to climate change. That confidence is much lower when it comes to hurricanes, tornadoes, and other storms. Maybe climate change will make them worse, but at this point, it's hard to say. Most media coverage of climate issues, I think it's fair to say, doesn't make that differentiation. Almost every bad thing that happens with the weather gets connected to global warming. Taking climate change seriously requires acknowledging that sometimes the weather is just bad. I'm Justin Fox. For more opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion. Or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And you can hear Bloomberg Opinion commentaries every weekday at this time. Karen.
And again, Nathan, Pfizer combining its business line of older blockbuster medicines with generic drug maker Mylan in a deal that will reshape the brand name and off-patent pharmaceutical industries. Under the all-stock deal, Mylan investors would get 43% of the new entity and Pfizer investors the rest. The company will have sales of about $19 billion to $20 billion in 2020. That's according to the companies, which spoke in a statement. Mylan shares are up about 23% right now. Now, Pfizer shares are down about 0.8%, and we'll be watching those stocks throughout the morning. S&P futures, meanwhile, little change. They're down about 2 points, and Dow futures are down 4. NASDAQ futures down 6. Bloomberg Surveillance is straight ahead with Jonathan Farrow and Paul Sweeney. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.